Welcome to worship this morning at University Mennonite Church. John 12:24 in today's lectionary reading says, "Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain, but if it dies, it bears much fruit." This verse resonates strongly with the theme of ecological restoration that Gretel, our guest preacher this morning, had long planned to discuss in today's sermon. John 12:24 is in fact the epigraph in Dostoevsky's novel The Brothers Karamazov, and what we learn from two of the characters, Father Zosima and Alyosha, his follower, is not that we should simply look forward to the afterlife and ignore life on earth, but rather that we should wholeheartedly embrace humanity and all of creation. For example, Father Zosima says, "Brothers, fear not the sin of people. Love them even in their sin. For this is the likeness of God's love and is the summit of love on earth. Love all God's creation and the universe and every grain of sand. Every leaf and every ray of light shall ye love." He also tells Alyosha, "Love to cast thyself down on the earth and kiss it. Wet the earth with the tears of thy joy and love these thy tears." So this morning I invite us to reflect on how we can be restored to God, to each other, and to the creation. For the call to worship, please join me in reading number 680 in the blue hymnal. Okay, I will read the first stanza. If you could read the second, and then we can all read the third. God of life, we thank you for the signs of your love that surround us. For sun and warmth and all that comes to life within creation, for all that sleeps within the earth awaiting birth.
We praise you for the wisdom of your care, water on the earth, sunlight on our spirits, and on the light of eyes.
Continue to touch us, reach out to us with compassion and forgiveness, that we may receive your gifts, that we may know your love and grace, and rise to new life in Jesus Christ. Amen. And now Faith will lead us in some gathering hymns.
Thank you.
We'd like to welcome anyone who is visiting with us this morning. If you would please introduce yourself or have someone who came with you introduce you, we would be glad to welcome you. We'll start on this side.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Carissa. With me this morning are a few friends from InterVarsity Christian Fellowship from Penn State. So just thank you for welcoming them into our family today.
Great. Welcome. Anyone else on this side? Okay. How about on the other side? Okay. Well, we're glad to have you with us this morning. For this morning's confession, Faith will lead us in singing, "Create in Me a Clean Heart," and then we will read the assurance of pardon together. Please read with me the call to grace on the back of the bulletin. God wants truth in the most hidden places and teaches wisdom in the most secret space. Creating for us clean hearts, God puts a new faithful spirit deep inside us. Now we'll have the children's time, so any of the children are welcome to come forward, and Marvin Hall will be meeting with you.
Good morning. We still have some more people coming up here. That you have, Lily? Is that a dog or a horse? I can't tell. Okay, good morning, you guys. There's a lot of happy faces out there this morning. This is good. Some of you may not know me. My name's Marvin. Some of you know me because I'm in the nursery a lot, right? So, anyway, I want to talk today about a couple of things, and I'm glad some of your parents are here because you're going to have to help me with, tell me what they do, okay? As a little baby, what do parents have to do to help a little baby? Think about that. What do the parents do to help a baby? Do any of you know? Feed them? Okay, they have to feed them. Maybe they don't do anything. Give you a bath? Yeah, some of that. Well, maybe it would be easier if you told me what parents don't do. What do parents? They what? They don't take showers. Okay, I'm glad to know that. The whole congregation's glad to know that. Yes. Well, when they feed you, do they just put the food? Well, some of you are older and they may do that. But when you're young, do they just put the food on the tray and walk away? No, they usually take a spoon and actually put it in your mouth, right? So they don't just throw the food out there for you to eat. What about when you're taking a bath? Do they just leave you lay there in the bath and go away?
No.
Why not?
They have to clean.
They have to clean you, okay. And they don't want you to fall below the water. So they don't walk away and leave you there. Anything else that the parents don't do? Can you think of anything? Okay, so there's things they do and they don't do. Well, today we're talking about restoration of the earth, and I thought I would bring the earth with me. This is a little model of the earth. And have you seen this before? This is our planet. This is what we live on. It's this big ball out in space. And if you were the sun, there's another one of these here, and that's called Mercury. You want to push it? And there's another one here called, anybody know? Venus. And then there's the earth out here away from the sun, okay? And the earth goes around the sun, right? And we live on this ball. And in fact, we might be able to find Pennsylvania. We are right there. Can you believe that? This is a model of the earth, a model of the ball of the earth. And we are in that state right there, Pennsylvania, right in the center of the state. And you know what? At this very moment, we are going around the earth from the sun. And as we're going around the sun, the earth is spinning like this. Whew. It makes you dizzy just thinking about it, doesn't it? Okay, you want to hit it? Now, what I want to talk about is the earth. And this is where we live. This is our house. Okay, it seems kind of big when you look out there. But when you start putting billions and billions of people on it, it's not really that big. So what are some things that we need to do to take care of our house here? Like your parents have to take care of you. What are some things we need to do to take care of this? Not litter. That's right. That's one of those things we don't want to do is litter. Anything else? What about cutting down all the trees? Have any of you seen pictures of this area here when they cut all the trees down from it? There are old pictures back about 150 years ago when there weren't any trees on these hills around it. They just cut them all off. See? And when that happens, then the water comes and washes the soil down, and the soil ends up either down here in the Chesapeake or down here in the Gulf of Mexico. All the soil washes away. Anything else we don't do? Or we do to take care of the earth? What about using water?
Turn off the tap.
Turn off the tap. Yep, save the water. Don't waste it because there's only so much of it. Anything else? What are some things you guys could do? We don't litter. We turn off the tap. What about lights? Turn them off when you're done using them. Why?
Because otherwise
it'll waste electricity. And electricity, where does that come from? You know?
The sun.
Okay, there's some energy coming from the sun. And it got captured in trees. And then those trees got buried below the ground. And it got all squeezed together. And it formed coal and oil. And we burn those things to produce electricity. Okay? And then when we burn those things, they give off gases that make the atmosphere, the light come through the atmosphere and hit the earth and not be able to bounce back out, and it warms up the earth. Okay? So those are some. What other things don't we do? Anything else? Can you think of anything else that we do on this ball that we live on out in space? Okay, it spins. Okay. Can you think of anything else? Okay, so as human beings, we're stuck on this little ball. We aren't going anywhere, and we need to take care of this. So as you grow older and you think about things that could help keep the earth stable, think about doing those things, okay? Because God gave us the commandment to kind of watch over this earth. And so far, we haven't done a real good job of it. So you guys are going to have to make up for your parents that aren't doing a real good job, okay? Okay, let's say a quick prayer, and then you can go, okay? Dear God, thank you for this earth we live on, and help us to know how to take care of it better. Amen. Okay, thank you very much.
Good morning. Ruth and I will be reading the scriptures for today. I have the Old Testament scriptures. First is Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, a covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No longer shall they teach one another to say to each other, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and remember their sin no more. Then the second is Hebrews 5, verses 5 to 10. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, You are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says also in another place, You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered, and having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek.
And I will be reading John 12:20-33. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, Sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will be my servant also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again. The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, An angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered, This voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die.
So I'm very pleased to be able to introduce Gretel van Weeren. She grew up in Holland, Michigan, and for those of you who follow Division III basketball, her dad was the coach of the Hope College men's basketball team for several decades. She and I met in 1997 in our first year of graduate school when she was completing a master's in international development at Cornell, and we bonded over running, shared research interests, and our Dutch heritage. She went on to get a Master's of Divinity from Yale and became an ordained minister in the Reformed Church in America and served as a pastor in upstate New York for several years, then went back for her doctorate in religious studies at Yale and is now a religious studies professor at Michigan State University. Her teaching and research focus on religion, ethics, the environment, and food. Her first book was called Restored to Earth, Christianity, Environmental Ethics, and Ecological Restoration. And her current book project focuses on religious responses to key issues in food ethics. Her husband, Jeff, is also a business professor at Michigan State, and they have three kids. And I think Leland and I will start trying to recruit her two daughters to come play hockey for Penn State in a few years. So with that, please welcome Gretel to our pulpit this morning.
So thanks to Esther and Leland and Lily for being such wonderful hosts
to me, and I am very glad to be here in your church this morning. I had the opportunity to drive into Penn State and State College in a snowstorm with the pines covered with snow. It was beautiful, and the driving wasn't too bad, and this morning the sun's out, so that's good. So I'd like you to come first with me to Holy Wisdom Monastery in Middleton, Wisconsin, where the nuns have been restoring the natural lands around the seminary for nearly six decades. When they first put roots in this place, which is on the shores of Lake Mendota outside of Madison, the land, Sister Mary David told me, was a wasteland, degraded by intensive agrochemical farming for decades. The 10,000-year-old glacial lake at the southeast corner of the property had been nearly filled in with sedimentation. The land was dry. There was little vegetation. And so the sisters set out to slowly but surely restore the place. They dug out the nearly 84,000 square yards of silt that had filled the lake. They began planting along the shoreline. And then each year, they sowed by hand 10 to 20 acres of upland prairie throughout the area. Now there are gardens and meandering paths and benches. There are educational sites for school groups to come learn about restoration. They've begun restoring the buildings too, so that now the main house is a biophilic building that's platinum LEED certified. It's become an oasis of beauty and quiet for the Madison area. Now come with me to another restoration site, this one closer to your home. It's in southwest Pennsylvania, in Vittendale, and it's called the AMD and ART. It stands for Acid Mine Drainage and ART. This one, the AMD, orange, syrupy, metals-laden, acidic water, was pouring out of a mine portal there into the creek at a rate of 200 gallons per minute, day and night. The creek and the watershed had become extremely polluted. And so the community, along with many other partners, began to restore the creek. What they needed to do was figure out how to pipe the AMD across a railroad track, over a berm, and create a series of passive treatment ponds that the AMD would flow through until it was filtered sufficiently to be considered legal. So the first pond just holds the AMD that keeps pumping. And then the second through the fourth pond, with wetland grasses and compost and other organic matter, filters the water slowly. Then by the fifth pond, the water is a bluish green, and then by the sixth, the water is clean enough to be considered usable. They've also planted a litmus garden along each of the ponds, trees that change colors with the seasons to reflect the colors of the water, orange to lighter orange to green to blue to nearly clear. And then they've restored a wetland that they call the history wetland, 70,000 tons of bony ash or waste coal needed to be removed, 5 to 6 feet of it. But then they planted 10,000 wetland plants, and they installed art installations testifying to the town's mining history, but then also moving to another art installation called A Clean Slate, where community members or visitors to the wetlands area can come and write in chalk their hopes for the future of the community's relationship to the land. What was once the town dump has now also become home to a restored area along the creek where there are fields and picnic areas and paths and benches. This restoration, these restoration stories, and so many more like them, the biblical writers today rest on a precipice, hang by a very thin thread, sit on a balance between lament and hope, sorrow and joy, degradation and healing, death and resurrection. This is how the biblical writers put it. Jeremiah, writing in a time of war between exile, uncertain of Israel's faith and whether they will come back to the covenantal ancestral faith of their heritage. Jeremiah says, "The days are surely coming. They're not here yet, says the Lord, when I will, not yet, I will make a new covenant with the house of Judah. I will, not yet, put it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." The psalm, the one that we sang in the song, "I know my transgressions," David, pleading for forgiveness for his sins. "Sin is everywhere before me, O God. Create in me a clean heart. Restore to me the joy of your salvation." And then Jesus in John to Andrew and Philip and the Greek citizens who had come to show patronage to Jesus, but also to come for the festival of the booths in Jerusalem. "Unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it. Those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life." I teach an environmental ethics course nearly every term at Michigan State to undergraduates. One of the anthologies we read in that class is a collection of narrative essays called Moral Ground: Essays for a Planet in Peril. And it's a collection of short, pithy essays meant to grab the heart, written by some of the world's leading thinkers on environmental issues. So there's an essay by Barack Obama. There's an essay by Pope John Paul II. There's an essay by Thich Nhat Hanh. There's an essay by Wangari Maathai. And there's an essay by Robin Kimmerer. Kimmerer is a Native American biologist, a moss biologist. And she wrote an essay in Moral Ground called The Giveaway. By and far, this is the student's favorite essay, year after year after year. We read it last week in class. In it, Kimmerer tells the story of her Potawatomi heritage and how in the summer powwows, there's a tradition called the giveaway, the minidoek, in which rather than the participants of the powwow coming to it with gifts for the leader is the one who gives away gifts to everyone who comes. The giveaway. The word itself, Kimmerer writes, minidoek, min in the Potawatomi language, means both gift and berry. And so at the powwow too, a large bowl of berries from the summer's fruits is passed with one spoon. And it's passed among participants with each taking a spoonful of the summer's berries. This, Kimmerer says, is the earth bowl, with each one taking a spoon from the same spoon. And so this earth bowl of berries that's passed along with the giveaway, she writes, represents the twin virtues of indigenous worldview, she writes. Gratitude and reciprocity. I have my students each week to write a question on one of the essays. Anything. What does it make you wonder? What do you think about? This week, one of the students wrote this question. Is it too late for our culture to adopt the orientation of gratitude to Earth? One table responded, yes, way too far gone. Way too far gone. No, this is not going to happen in our culture. Another table, a woman said, people just like their stuff way too much. And then another table said, well, maybe our culture is too far gone, but maybe we can teach our children this. Maybe we can teach our children this spirit of gratitude. We live on a planet in peril. We live on a planet with promise. God's promise. The Benedictine nuns restoring the natural lands, the people of Vintondale restoring their creek, restoring earth, restored to earth. Jesus between death and resurrection. This is the place we find ourselves. This is Lent. We pray in our deepest hearts that God will restore us. May it be so. Amen. Join me in the prayer in your bulletin, which is a prayer of earth, a prayer of God, and a prayer of life. It's on the back sheet of the bulletin. Let us pray. God of life, we thank you for the earth and for those who care for it and bring forth its fruit. May the Spirit, the giver of life, help us to recognize that we are part of creation's web of relationships. May we learn to cherish the earth and listen to creation's groaning. May we truly walk together in the steps of Christ, bringing healing to all that wounds this earth and ensuring a just sharing of the things that brings forth. God of life, lead us to justice and peace. Amen.
I'd like to invite Anna and Lucy to come take the offering.
Thank you. distant past to the end of the age to be. Your very name puts the proud and shame into those who work for you. You will show your might, but the strong to fight. Oh,
please join me as I pray. Lord, how can we remember all your creation in this offering? You have given us time and the seasons. You have given us families and friends. You have given us our family of the church. Accept our offering of love. You give us the wonder and marvel of summer with the warmth and fun of faith. You give us the color and change of autumn and cause us to see the need for change. You give us the chill and rain of winter, with time for us to sit and think. You give us the new life and growth of springtime with the reminder of new life in Christ. Creator God, Lord of the universe, accept our gifts and our lives that the world and all people may praise your name. Amen. Krista will now lead us in the sharing of joys and concerns. Okay, it's time for announcements. If anyone has an announcement, please raise your hand and the ushers with a microphone will hand you one.
I'm Gloria Horst Rosenberger, and in our bulletins for the past several Sundays, there is an announcement about a training center seminar for Stewards of Children, Darkness to Light. That is going to be 1 week from this coming Tuesday here in our church, and anyone who volunteers with children or youth in our congregation is really encouraged to attend this. A few of us have already attended it. It's well worth your while. Thanks.
My name is Eric Smith. I would like to announce that we are going to be starting a study of the book of Ecclesiastes in our downstairs Bible study starting next Sunday. That is the book that begins with the famous words, "Vanity, vanity, all is vanity." If you would like to attend, you're certainly welcome. We're glad for anyone who comes.
Upstairs Sunday School will be a discussion of the sermon and other topics that Gretel will discuss with us, and so all are welcome to that. Is there a downstairs Bible study this morning? Okay, no. So everyone will be joining us up here. And we're ending a little early, so I think, shall we, it's 10:30 now, if we aim for 11, is that, unless I hear any large objections? Okay. So Gretel will lead us in the benediction, and then we'll have a sending hymn.